new media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission? To befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
What about Daddy Cool?
Yeah, what about Daddy Cool? Hello, people of tomorrow. It's your captain. On this Wednesday, it's hump week, and you know what, Roxy? I'm calling it. The week's over.
Oh, good. Thank gosh.
Screw it. It's done. How great is Boney M? Look at this band. And look at him, Roxy. Have you ever heard this song?
Uh-uh.
Roxy Stryer at the Tomorrow Show Bar.
Need it, though, in my
we
life.
We have no one at the social media station. Christy Olsen, Christy Reports. Not available today, but in the booth, Michael Klaus, still a virgin?
Still a virgin.
Mike, you know this guy singing is not a virgin.
Oh, there's no way, but this is groovy.
Isn't it amazing? Bonjour, Juliette. Comment ça va, Juliette?
Hey.
Watch him move. This guy, Bobby Farrell. I'm sorry, I'm enjoying this. I know we should be doing a show.
He doesn't need a shirt. Look at that chest
but
hair.
But look at the
it's
moves.
Like a sweater.
And by the way, the girls do all the heavy lifting. They're doing most of the singing. And all he's called upon is just to show us how to dance. Anyway.
And say, I'm crazy like a fool.
And then you know what you got to do after this? Go to his second hit after this one, Rasputin, which is years later, and he adjusts the look and the dance. Here we go.
I want that jacket.
See, he sang one line. There you go.
Good for him.
I could handle this, Rox. I could do that dance.
The vocals? Oh, no, the dance, too.
Yeah, no, in his vocals, he doesn't even have any. He does it in spoken word. Look at that dance. I have to talk to Lauren LaGrasso next time she performs. I want to get her to do Daddy Cool.
End of May, I think May 26th.
May 26th? Oh, wow. Oh, the shirt comes all the way off. But, Rox, his dance, it's not so intricate.
He makes it look more challenging than it is, I think.
He's crazy,
like the extra
he's
flail.
Crazy. See?
Oh, she believes in you.
Oh, she believes in you.
She loves her daddy.
She loves her daddy. Oh, I can totally handle that. And then I'm right back into my dance. Well, people, yes, I was on sabbatical. Nice job, Rox, holding down the fort.
Thanks.
Last week, as always, it's always great to get the millennial perspective and watch how you guys...
You mean the worst perspective?
Well, come on now. Not all bad. You guys do a really nice job running the ship. Oh, seeing the girls giving good sound effects, Michael?
I mean, how old is this song, Kev?
This is from, it has to be 75, I think, mid-70s.
Definitely the 70s.
You guys aren't feeling this at all? Am I the only one?
No, I love this song. You know,
it's
so popular in France. Like, everybody...
Is it?
Play. Yeah, it is.
No way.
It is. That one and Rasputin is, too.
Oh, wow. You know Rasputin as well?
Of course.
Oh,
people
my
age, like, in their 20s, will literally break a move and dance so hard as if it's, like, the latest.
All right, take us to Rasputin. Yeah, I was, you know, I'm dealing with these health issues, but that's why I wasn't here last week. Last week I was with Sean Waltman, X-Pac. He and other members of the NWO, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, were asked by the great Shawn Michaels if they would induct him into the Cauliflower Club, which is not the WWE Hall of Fame, but I would say the second most prestigious. There's a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and then there's the Cauliflower one. And
but is it a list or a location?
It's a list, but they have a banquet, and really the Cauliflower Club exists to help all other wrestlers who are down and out.
And it's not just wrestlers, right? It's actors he was mentioning.
Back in the day, Ed Asner and other, who's been a guest on our show, they were, you know, it was a bridge between Hollywood and wrestling. And then, like a lot of those things, the old guard that runs it won't give it up. Much like Jerry Lewis wouldn't give up the telephone. 20 years ago, if 15 years ago, if Jerry Lewis gave the telethon to Ryan Seacrest, like he should have, that would still be on the air making the money he would make. But, you know, he wouldn't.
Why not Maria Menounos?
Or Maria Menounos. Well, at the time, she would
be great. Stop doing that.
How do you pronounce it?
This is why everybody has
Here
a hard
go.
Time.
Here we go. Okay, see? Look at him later with the gray beard. Of course, the black girls, as always, don't age. They look amazing.
Do you guys know that game, Just Dance? It's like a video game. Anyways, they have one of these songs.
They have Rasputin?
They have Rasputin.
Okay, well, I want you to see, Michael, watch you see his dance on this one. This one I don't think I could do. And he died in 2010 of a heart attack. And you know the irony, Juliet?
What?
He died in the same city that Rasputin died in, and everyone took that as life imitating art.
Do you know what city?
I don't know what city.
Let's see.
I'm sorry.
Are these the same girls, you think?
Same girls. Oh yeah. Look at the dance and the outfit.
Rasputin died in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Yeah.
Let's start talking over this audio. I don't want to have any claims.
Well, how do you know? Oh, that's true. Okay. So anyway,
we're just grooving, Julia.
So I'm just enjoying
I know. I'm
it.
Sorry
so
to break up the party.
I'm saying the great Bobby Farrell. He just takes me away. No, the Cauliflower Club. Yeah, it was one of those things that it needed new life, and you know, I see that all the time, and you know, we all hate. Nobody wants to be pushed out of anything. And there's times where executives pull that trigger too early, but there is a time to do it.
What do you mean?
Well, the first time they tried to bump Jay Leno from Conan was dumb. That was too early. Jay was still number one. Like, you don't do that. Yeah, you know, that was dumb. But then there's other times. I think there's a case when Barbara Walters left, whether they asked her to leave or she left on her own, that was the right time to leave The View.
You don't think ever preemptively, if you see a trend going the other way, like if you think that there's about to be something, even if they're number one, that you pull the plug?
Well, in a fear-based industry like ours, it's not, you don't usually get that chance. So if you do that and you fail, you're fired. If you don't do it, you keep your job. Because they say, well, God, why would you, you can't blame the guy. He or she left Jay in power because he was number one. I'm just saying there's a time to do it.
Makes sense.
And a good executive knows that. And also the person who's in the spotlight needs to know, or the one in the position also needs to know where it's time. And, yeah, you see that a lot in business. And, the Jerry Lewis telephone, finally, then it was too late to bring anyone in. And then when they finally kicked him out, then what was left collapsed. So, but in the case of this Cauliflower Club, there's an old wrestler, Brian Blair, who was popular in the 80s, who's now taken it over. And he's brought new life into it. And bless the WWE, because they support it. So they bought three tables and they flew out. They flew me out. They flew out the NWO. They flew out this guy, Pat Patterson, who's a legend. And Booker T, other legends you wouldn't know. They flew out The Rock's mom. They flew out a couple of other wrestlers' widows. Yeah, and you know, just to be at the table with Sean and those two and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash was so much fun. And
was it
Shawn
your
Michaels.
Instagram I saw that picture on, or where did I catch that picture?
I don't know, because
I'm
continuing. Well, you know, I'm continuing to be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter free. I wish I could be email free, but I have to keep somewhat of a pulse going business wise. So I don't know. Maybe Julia put it out there, but yeah, it was great to spend the whole day and a half with them and to hear the stories. And you know what really struck me the most, and it's probably a deeper conversation if Sean were here. And I know he had a long day of shooting too today, so he was. We didn't want to further tax him.
What's he shooting? Can you tell us?
I don't know yet if we want to announce what he's shooting, but we'll get there. Anyway, it was what really struck me, Rox, And I wish you could be there. Normally, I should say I wish Maria could be there, but it doesn't seem like anything gets through to Maria. Again, I'm always dealing with that curse of her making it at 22. So I've always, she's made it so young that I, you know, she's doesn't have the same appreciation. But to hear, and Michael, you'd appreciate this too, to hear how passionate they are about wrestling to this day, and not bitter, not, you know, these new guys stink, and blah, blah, blah. And it was, they all watch and they critique the matches and they're talking about what's better, what's worse. But what I just admired so much with all four of them, with you know, Sean, the two Seans, Scott and Kevin, is their passion for the craft. And then I think about when I've been around Sylvester Stallone. Same thing. Movies, 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 movies. He's seen every movie. He's talking every movie. So much passion for the craft. And I know to civilians, people who don't have a passion for anything, that kind of talk can be annoying. But I admire it. I think it's very cool. And I was so surprised and impressed that years later, they're still that passionate. And again, it was passion. It wasn't bitterness. It wasn't, you know, a jealousy. It was just a passion for the art.
You always talk about, Kevin, though, that there are some people who would, like, just die if the fame went away, or they would stab somebody to make it in the industry. And
oh,
I wonder,
do
you feel like the same people who don't stop talking about it, it's all they care about, it's all they love, it's their passion, or
no,
that same group of
people? No. They can be similar, yes. But most of the time, no. Most of the time, my experience, when you have a pet, it goes to, remember the, I've told you the Picasso quote, where he would say, take away my paints, I will use chalk. Take away my chalk, I'll use crayons. Take away my crayons, it all got all the way down to like, I will stick my finger in water and use that to create my art. But I'm, no matter what you do, I'm always going to make my art. Dustin Hoffman, same thing. When he talking about the blacklisting days, and God, I hope the Me Too thing just skates over him. We don't need to like bury another legend, you know, for being a dirty old man saying stupid things. Did he go more than that? Did he blackball people or rocks? Did he? I mean,
well, it sounds like he inappropriately was touching people back in the day.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, maybe he was nervous.
But
anyway,
yeah, he could have been nervous.
Let's just skip over that.
We don't know.
Okay, so. The one thing he said was why during the blacklisting days, during the days where they were having, where people were being accused of being communist, and many actors were turning in people just so they would be able to continue their careers. And he said, I wouldn't have turned anyone in, not because I'm any more brave than anybody, but because I know I could have always done local theater. And performed, because that's all I want to do is act. So, yeah, and I've worked, and you know, when I've worked with the great actors, Chris McDonald, from famous character actor.
Of course, of course.
You know, we were doing a scene together, and I was helping him through and just...
For your movie.
Yes, and I was just saying, hey, let's just get it done. He goes, hey, man. He goes, come on, man, this is your baby. You know, let's do it right. Let's do it the right way. Laura Flynn Boyle, same thing. She's like, hey, wait. What do you think that we do this for? It's just adult make-believe. This is why we're doing it. Come on. And she
That's
was
so
reminding
cool.
Maria. So, and now, do artists forget that later in the journey? Of course. Of course. They forget it because of the fame and because of the money. But at some point, it all comes back out in them. It does. So, yeah, you see the ones, it's just about the fame and the kill. But then there's the ones, it's just about creating.
Yeah, how cool this picture of you guys is.
I know that was, and you know,
where are you here?
We are at a hotel having a breakfast or a brunch, and I just was quiet during this whole time just to hear these guys all talk and exchange, talk about things back in the day, things today. One of the great quotes, Kevin, I think it was Kevin Ash, Scott Hall, Kevin Ash said, like, you know, they're like, just out of nowhere, it was, everything's quiet, everyone's eating. It's like, you know, the old man still knows what he's doing. And they were talking about Vince, which I thought was cool. Like, he still has the eye.
That is cool.
Don't let anyone kid yourself. And then this was with JR, Kevin Nash, me, and Sean. Now, Sean was smiling, but I was, this to me is like the, God, what is the movie about Al Capone in Scar, back in the 80s with De Niro? Michael, what's that movie? Why am I like, I'm sorry for the brain freeze audience. Sean Connery. Kevin Costner.
The Untouchables?
Yes. And there's
I've never seen it.
And during the movie, they take a picture of themselves. And they're all very serious, you know, and they call back to the picture at the end. And that's kind of our Untouchables picture. But as we were sitting there at night, and JR, what a sweet man. He was very, very sad about losing his wife. He's like, you can never prepare. I was not ready for this. He was very, very sad. And Kevin Nash, they were pumping him up. And Kevin Nash was giving him great advice on life. And all of a sudden during the night, and I can't drink, I can't eat, I can't do all, I can't womanize, I can't do all the things I used to love about Vegas back in the 90s.
Oh, so the worst.
I'm like, I'm dying. And all of a sudden Kevin Nash goes, hey, you know what? Wait. We need to just, this moment right now, you guys, is awesome. We need to get a picture of this.
Wow.
It was so cool. And that was the picture. He said, can we, and he said to the bartender, excuse me, will you take a picture of all of us together?
So you feel like they like accepted you into
the group? Well, I didn't make it about me. I just admired that he was in the present, which who is, right? We're all about, you were saying it on last episode,
yeah.
All about the next scam, all about the FOMO.
Trying to get better about it, but yeah.
Right? And stay in the moment. And it was so great. He goes, wait, stop. And just wanted, he's like, let's go. I need to get a picture of this. I'm really enjoying this moment right now. And I thought that was just really cool. And then, you know, as we, when we left, I felt with this cauliflower club, I go, I think maybe that we give a little shot of underpower. So once I'm physically back on my feet right now, you know, I'm having some issues. I think we just give him a little bit of, yeah, give him a little shot.
What are you thinking?
Well, I think, let's get Hollywood back involved. I think there'll be a nice Maria Menounos Award. Of course, the captain will be making a nice honorarium. But that could go to a female performer.
Cool.
You know, I just think things like that because, you know, this form of entertainment touches so many people. And these guys give so, so much. And even in the best of circumstances, it's nobody's fault. What is expected of them is what is expected of them to be successful. The stunts, the moves, the schedule, it's just what it is. And they all can't be paid John Cena and Rock money, you know, but they're paid well. But again, you're paid well for what? A 7-year window? 5-year window?
You might not know the answer to this, Kevin, but what does the average WWE wrestler make?
Average?
Like, are we talking hundreds of thousands a year?
I think probably about
300,000 a year?
300 or 400, yeah. I mean, that's...
And is that from the WWE or is that from sponsorships or...
It's WWE, plus you get, I think they split merchandise and... Mm. But it can be up there. And I always say if you can get fame, you can... There's a number of ways. If you're smart, like Chris Jericho, you can parlay it in, you know, so many ways. But, you know, it's hard after. And I don't care, you know, you think it's fake, you think it's this, you think it's that. There's still something to be said for hearing the cheers of 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people physically performing, but then also performing in general, acting, talking on the mic, speaking live, unscripted. I mean, so much is asked upon them. And you get all that energy and then suddenly it goes away. That takes a toll on anybody. And you don't maybe have the health insurance to keep going. You're not making any new income. So it's hard. You know, you've had a certain lifestyle you've had to live. And then when that money goes away, it's just not easy for these guys. And I admire the Cauliflower Club for doing things to help them.
We can't see that, Michael.
Oh, I was just, you know, so the average salary, according to Forbes, they have a base salary which ranges from $52,000 up to $1 million per year. But WWE says the average make about $500,000.
Okay, $500,000. All right.
Based on other, you know, annual things.
Based on everything coming together. But it's a short window for a lot of them. And like I said, so if this group comes together to do things to help them, I'm all in, and I feel like more of us should be because they do give us so, so much. You know, the other curse, too? If I was sitting at that hotel bar, I swear to God, Rox, with a Bradley Cooper, let's just say, just throw a name out there, Seth Rogen. If we were at that same bar, there's no way we would have gotten as many interruptions from fans.
Really?
No way. I mean, listen, Maria is not Seth Rogen or, you know, but it's just Maria. She's famous. And I will tell you, as every 5 minutes we're having these nice moments and poor JR's open about his wife and then, hey, I don't mean to bother you, but.
Well, aren't a lot of people in Vegas for this particular thing?
No, I mean, no, this is a tiny, like, it's at literally at the Gold Coast.
I don't even know what that.
It's a pretty lower scale venue.
Got it.
Roxy and Friends would not be staying at the Gold Coast. And I don't even think Klausy and Friends. Maybe Klausy and Friends in college would. Like, okay, let's just all get a room together and who cares? Like, that's it. But no, it's not a, you know.
And, got it.
And when I tell you these guys could not be left alone, and it really, Sean, you know, who doesn't stand out as much because he's not as big as the other guys. But, you know, he had the hood on and the sunglasses, and I was glad I was with him to help manage.
Wow.
Yeah, so many people.
That's cool.
It is cool, but it's also hard. These guys haven't seen each other forever. They want to get together and talk. And like I said, JR there is telling us about his poor wife dying so suddenly. He's a mess. He can't handle anything at the house. The wife used to do everything. It was so sad. And every 5 minutes, you know, I don't want to bother you, but well, what you are bothering, you know.
So you think they shouldn't?
You know what the right thing to do is, and there were a couple that did this. When you see people that are that deep in conversation, the best is, listen, don't want to bother you. Just want to say, I love your work, and you've meant so much to me, and you're awesome. God bless. They were like, people did that. That's what you do.
As opposed to,
hey, I don't mean to bother you, but can me and my friends get a selfie? And then can you say, one guy came up, literally, Rox, had one of those ink pens. He pulls out a bag of all these dolls, like these figures to sign. He leans over to hand Kevin the pen, Kevin Nash the pen. The pen is one of those paint pens. It's white. I'm in black pants. Bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop. On your pants?
Oh. In my pants.
No. What did you say? Did he apologize even?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude. Yeah, he's just rude. I just know from dealing with Maria, and I'm always like, hey, the fans make you, and that's part of what goes along with it. But the amount of times these guys get nailed, and then the fact that they're so big, they can't hide. So I always said the biggest curse with Gary Coleman was the fact the poor guy had no money and couldn't go out and become a security guard, couldn't just go do a legit job because he was so famous. And he stood out so bad that we just get heckled by everybody.
Yeah.
And so people don't understand, like, you know, I was saying to Sean, I go, the worst curse is when you have that and you don't have the money. If you have the money, it's okay because you can get your 60 acres in Connecticut or you can hide or you can bring buffers with you. You know, you bring your Joe Gear, you bring other people, go, no, excuse me, they're just not right now. Maybe come back in 2 hours when they're done, but... You know.
So should you, Kevin, never go up to somebody and ask for a selfie? Never go up to a celebrity and ask for a selfie?
I don't know. There's just a time and a place for it. There just is. And it's, and then certain people have certain cameras that they use rather than phone cameras because they're easier to upload. And
I maybe say do a business hour approach. Like, if it seems like it's within their business hours.
I guess I don't know. Listen, even when we went home, we had a family event last year to celebrate Lita being Maria's mother being alive. And it was literally maybe a month and a half after poor Maria has this golf ball ripped out of her skull. So the poor thing's like a zombie. Now, no problem, Maria. I do everything. I set everything up, you know, whatever. And we have this giant, like, 1,000-square-foot gazebo. It's, like, perfect for a party. And when I tell you, it was the same thing every 5 minutes. I hate to bother you. Can I get a picture? Okay, now can I get one for my daughter? Can I get... And it was always the people we didn't even know. They really weren't even family. It just... I don't know. It made me go, say... Okay, I'm going to have another one for my parents next year because my dad loves it. But I'm going to literally set it up, Kevin, and then we're going to leave.
That sucks.
Yeah. Because I can't, you know, so. But again, there's a time. I know it's, oh, woe is me, right? Because you're famous and whatever. But especially in the case of the wrestlers who I am telling you 10 or 20 times as much as any A-list star.
Wow.
Every 2 or 3 minutes to the point I'm usually the most patient. I'm always like, no, sign it, Maria. They're the fans.
As long as people feel like they really know them. They're super, like, yeah, approachable.
Yeah, right, because right. And anyway, so it was, but it was nice. And Scott Hall, who's had problems with addiction, he was sober. So it was, and it was just interesting, the three different personalities between the four of them, but especially the NWO, especially Sean, Scott, and Kevin. Three very different personalities, very, very smart people, very well read.
Who talks the most?
Kevin Nash. And my God, Kevin Nash is as lightning fast, wit-wise, as the greatest of the comics.
Really?
And his reference base of material, the movies, the music, wow. He knew everything. I mean, a lot of even hanging out with the Big Show, a lot of the wrestlers do, I think, because they're just in hotels so much that a lot of them just are nerdy and read, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm on the road so much, yeah.
Anyway, it was nice, and I'm grateful to Sean for letting me be part of it.
So did you have fun at all?
I did. You know, good. I've had to cut my schedule way, way back because of some things I'm dealing with. And the only reason I didn't want to let Sean down. I think he wanted me there. But then also, I said, you know, I'm going to go as a little kid. I'm not going as everybody's Jew. I'm going to be a goy. Or I'm going to be a little Jew. Meaning like just a little Jew who's going to watch.
Jewish.
Jewish.
Was
yes.
it hard for you?
Just a little Jewish boy wants to like watch. You know, I don't think I had a choice. But it was just, I just sat there. I just watched. I observed. I laughed. And, you know, I started to feel bad for the people running the event because I go, God, if I know what I could do to help them. But I didn't. Usually I'd say, listen, call me. And when I'm in L.A., I'll assemble a team and we'll.
No.
And I didn't do
no.
that.
No, good job.
I just
good
said
job.
I need time. Then I had to go write 4 speeches for Maria at the airport. And that was not.
What is she doing speeches for?
Just different things she's doing around the country. And each one's like a 45-minute speech, which that's equivalent to about 6,000 words. So good luck with that, Captain Kev.
So good.
Anyway, I had a, before we get to the news, I want to, we're actually not going to believe it, but I went through an exorcism.
I don't even know what that means. I see it Michael. In a movie, yeah, something about God.
That's where you pull a spirit out of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like the
what
exorcist?
The heck?
Yeah, Michael, yeah.
This is a Catholic thing?
I don't know what it is.
I think it's like a lot of religions who believe in demons. It literally is you're pulling a demon from someone.
Like spirits and stuff.
Why?
I've been having.
Do you have a devil inside you?
I've been having pains in my stomach, pains in my chest. Went and took an EKG, and they said, you have the heart of a teenager and the pulse of a teenager. So we ruled that out. Stomach-wise, as I said, I'm eating air. So fried air, marinated air, you know.
Are you eating enough, though? Are they saying you're getting
air,
enough fuel?
Enough air.
Enough protein?
I mean,
enough?
Sure I am. Look at me. I'm fine. Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. But we're just tacking this from everything, every angle. And you know me, whatever what rocks.
Moves the needle.
Whatever moves the needle. So they said there's an energy healer. Go see them. I'm like, I'm in. So.
Like, you're just trying to make friends or you're just in?
No, I said whatever moves the needle,
whatever
Juliet.
Moves the needle.
Like, I just can't. The exhaustion, the pain, now it shakes, just different crazy things. And we've actually discovered it's the thyroid issue, and now I'm peeling the layers away of that. So we're on our way. But I sit down, and by the way, 2 or 3 of the different people I've worked with have said the same thing. Like, it's almost like you're being choked. And when you work with people, these healers who are true empaths, Rox, I know it's going to be crazy to you, but they'll start mimicking your conditions. Like, I've had one who, like, literally started doing these huge belches. I did not tell her what was the matter with me. But as she was working on my stomach area, she was, and I was like, oh my God, this is kind of rude. Yeah. And I didn't realize she was an empath. So all the stuff going on in me was coming out
did
through
she have
her.
To explain that to you?
Like, no.
Oh.
Then 2 other ones I met with the same thing was like, I feel like I'm being strangled. Like, this is just weird. And then this one who was, I think, more, she's just more intricate. She was the one that said, there are, okay. She said, you feel like an elephant's on your chest. You can't breathe. She's like, oh my God, this is bad. She said, I'm going to need you to get on the table and, I'm going to need you to keep your eyes open. And I was like, all right, it's whatever. It's like, do I naked? What do I do? She's like, just get in your, get down in your underwear, whatever makes you more comfortable. And she said, you know, there are these entities that are in you, that have wrapped around you. And then she explained the whole thing to me. And she's not into good or evil. She's just saying that there are these entities that exist, and no different than a leech needs blood to suck blood to live, to sustain itself. They need, you know, positive energy or whatnot to sustain themselves. And she's like, I see it around your chest. I see things around your stomach. And I'm like, well, listen, I can't figure out what this is, what is doing this to me. I'm like, so again, whatever rocks.
Moves the needle.
Whatever moves that effing needle. So she's like, okay, I want you to keep your eyes open. This is going to be very painful. And I said, and I actually pulled a Roxy. I said, why do I have to keep my eyes open? And she said, because I want you to be present. You have to be present during this. And
at this point, were you thinking this is a scam?
No, because I think that would prevent it anything from working.
Then
Mike.
The needle doesn't.
Because even because let's just say right. So Mike, let's say it is a scam, but I believe it and it goes away. The pain's been so excruciating when it comes on, and so just bad. You guys like bad. Like I mean bad. Like I want to walk in front of a bus bad. And I will never, and I've said this before on the show anyway, but I'll say it again, I'll never hold it against anyone who takes their own life now, because I understand you lose rational thinking in that moment that you do it, you know? I used to think my less evolved days, I would say, oh, that person's selfish. No. You just get so haunted, you don't know what you're doing. You become like a zombie. So she starts by, it was interesting, she put her fingers on the same areas I have been getting acupuncture. Now, she didn't know that.
Where is that?
Places on my stomach, that's where we started. But then there are also places on my chest that I've been getting acupuncture. And with acupuncture, it's interesting. Some of the needles, have you any of you guys had acu?
Mm-mm.
Nobody. Michael?
Nope.
Juliet? Nobody. So you get, this is where needles go into your body and release pressure and do all sorts of things. And you'd be so surprised at the theories of where the needles go and what body parts and what even emotions they're affecting. So certain needles would go in. I didn't feel a thing. Then others went in. It was like, ah! And she, oh, she's like, that's grief. Okay. Ah! What's that one?
Wait, so she's doing this or this is?
This is another lady.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't want to confuse you. Another one was anger. But what I noticed, and these two healers don't know each other. The acupuncture person doesn't know this lady. But she put her finger in those same places, which is why I think that if you believe in the spirits and the demons and that stuff, that could have been happening. But if you don't, then maybe it's physical, where she was hitting key pressure points.
Right.
So she dug her finger in. And I had my eyes open, and I went back and forth from laughing hysterically. And I said, is that okay? She said, no, that's fine. To bawling.
Because of pain or?
Everything was just all coming out of me, Rox. Yeah. I don't know if it was the physical pain. A lot of it, I felt emotional pain. I can't describe it. And I will tell you, I could see my father. I was having visions of my dad. I was having visions of baby. My little Bijan had just died. It was the strangest thing when she was hitting these certain places.
All in your stomach.
It started with the stomach. And she's also, you know, speaking in tongues, which is a religious thing. It's gibberish. You don't know what it is.
Like loud, like chanting.
Kind of like Harry Potter, Roxy. Is what that
exactly. Thank you, my millennial.
It like is, Harry
Potter. Thank you for the
exactly.
translation.
It is, actually. That's true. And no, but then she's like, okay, move this over to grid 5. Okay, this one's right. She's talking out loud to the angels. and she pulls one. She's like, okay, this one has a tail. I'm like, and I like turn my head to look.
What?
Like, what has a tail? Okay, bought them all in. And she's like, yeah, your dad's with you. Do you know? You know? And I said, you know, should I be angry trying to get them out? And she's like, no, they like that. So okay, she's like, you have to stay
calm
and positive because they don't like that. And it got to the point where it was so, I don't know how long it lasted. It was, I mean, I've been in fist fights. I've never, God, I just think of how I got beat up as a kid, and I've never physically been tortured like this. And
wow.
At the end, and at the
but in a good way?
Yeah, because I was releasing, but it sucked. And as I was coming to the end, I'm like, I can't do this anymore, but I didn't want to say that. But I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm in so much pain.
Why didn't you want to say it?
Because I wanted to move the needle, you know? And so interesting, you know, I know you don't believe in this stuff, Rox, but she was like, wait, your dog was 18? I'm like, yeah. And, you know, so she was doing little things like that as she was having... seemed like she's having the visions with me. And she's like, you know, she's up there with like, there's three other ones. There's two big ones and a little one. Which, of course, is Paula, Athena, and Noelle, it seems like. But at the end of it, just when I was about to give up, in comes Apollo and Athena and Noelle. Into my thoughts, into my brain. And Noelle, you had to know her. She was a little poodle, quadriplegic, but God bless her, super protective, would like try to fight and defend. And she was I could see her growling and being angry at first, but then she even got with the program of, no, I'll just lick and be happy and kiss you. So I'm seeing all this happen. I'm seeing stars go before my eyes. Almost, you've probably never been hit in the head, Rox. Mike, have you ever been hit in the head?
I've been hit in the head.
Do you ever see stars?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, all this is happening. And then finally, I must have passed out. But when I woke up, the pain in my chest was gone.
Wow. For how long?
Well, she said, no, please. I want you to go home. I don't want you to talk to many people. She's like, who's around the house? I said, my friend Joe Gear came in to help out because he knew I was down. She's like, okay, you know, he's pure. That's good. She's like, Maria, and just really limit any interaction with people. You just need to rest. The next 3 days. And she's like, and I want you to take Epsom salt baths and just be calm. So I came home, and that lasted about 5 minutes until Maria started giving me... gotta do this, you gotta do that, what about that, yeah, just brought it all of but it was just, it was very interesting. And oh, and you know, it was actually the night after the play. I went the day after the play. And because I had that one vodka drink, Rox, yeah, it made me feel okay. That before I saw this lady, oh, I was devastated. I was really, really down for the count. So anyway, it brought me out of it.
Because of the vodka drink?
I think so. Because my body's been so clean right now.
Yeah.
And because of whatever's going on with my thyroid. And who knows? And who knows? You know, her theory was that when baby died, I was really down in the dumps. And she's like, and that's when sometimes they can come in. Or they can be old demons that have been there for a long time.
Since you're saying it sounds like you're in so much pain, but the way to combat it was to remain positive. How were you able to do that?
Oh, during the scam?
Yeah.
Because again, it's a fight, so you want to win the fight.
And for people at home, like, what are your tidbits?
The only tidbits is if there's people out there that do this stuff and it's physical. I mean, physical, like she drove her finger in. I will tell you, I spoke to Sean about it, and Sean's on another plane, ex-Puck. He's like, no, Kevin, she was 100% right. They do exist. I saw it in China. I've seen it myself.
Interesting.
And I feel like if Sean sat on that table, there's more that would come out. I mean, I have to say it, just whatever, call me a mark, but I feel like there was truth to it. I really do.
Who gives a shit if there was or wasn't?
Right. But it's weird, Roxy. When I now see certain people's faces, I see they're tormented. There was a lady at the airport in Vegas who couldn't get on a flight or whatever. And at face value was your classic narcissist, yelling and screaming and making this big scene to the point security had to take her away. Ended up getting herself arrested, the dummy. And normally, and look, sorry, I even call her a dummy now, but normally I would have said, oh God, look at that narcissist brat, got her way her whole life. And no, there's something inside. Yeah. And I even think of certain people who've terrorized Marie, and I see the wicked looks on their face. I don't know. I think it's beyond them. I really do now. I don't know. I really do. As crazy as it sounds. So I have a different understanding.
I know it's going to sound insane. Someone's out there listening to this being like, okay, I can just be the asshole that is inside me because of demons now, though. Like, people do have a choice in how they conduct themselves.
I think being positive, whatever, kind of keeps them out and doing those things. And
that was my question.
And I think it's extreme. I mean, I'm talking about, like, again, yeah, I don't know if anyone out there we know is fighting with everyone at the airport and getting arrested.
Right.
Or doing some of the vile and depraved things like a Harvey Weinstein or, you know, some of the people Marie's had to deal with. But I don't know. I'm just open to it. I think that there are things out there that, wow, I was like, okay, made a believer out of me.
And do you think going through this experience, now that you're more aware of it, you're going to step away from certain people, or your radar is up in terms of evil?
I'll tell you what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't, when your dog of 18 years dies and your partner's not here and you're bawling your eyes out and sad, you shouldn't go and drink six beers and then go to the Spearmint Rhino.
Oh.
Because I don't think that strip club had a lot of
positive.
But what about what's
on the
name?
Surface?
Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope.
What about Kaleidoscope?
I don't know. You know what? And I'm thinking as I'm on the table, I'm like, son of a gun, there I go. I tried to have fun. I tried to be a human being, go to a strip club, and the spirits came out of Kaleidoscope.
That's
and
where they
right
live?
Into my
probably.
Body. Probably.
That's
oh,
where
yeah.
they live.
Well, Sean was like, Kev, they totally live there.
Where else do you think they hang out, these spirits?
I just, listen, they're around, and I, you know, I also spoke to someone who does ancestral work. Actually, Michael, I think he's a priest. You would have admired him, too, because he was more, a couple of days later, I spoke to him. He's in England, this guy.
He does what?
Ancestral work, as far as, you know, he reads your lineage and if there's curses or things like that, but he knew the name of the lady I went to. I don't know. There's no way he could have known that. He was saying it out loud. He's like, okay, so you went to Sheila and Sheila said this. And I'm like, God. I never told him that. Also never told him about certain family members. He knew their names.
Really?
I know you're cynical and say they could find that online, which I don't know if they could because I changed my last name, but he would never know
Sheila's name.
So it's just interesting. Not that there's not scammers out there. I don't know. And again, I thought the physical aspects help. I wish I knew specifically. If I can find out specifically what the treatment is and who does it. No, I know. I really want to spend the money and get Sean on the table. I do.
Is it expensive?
No, it's actually not for what she does. No, I don't think so.
So, Kev, am I saving you a parking spot this Sunday or next? Or
at the church?
How does this
You know,
work
Michael,
out now?
I did know. I did drive by the old rocks, did drive by the old Catholic church. I'm like, no. Maybe I should go and say hi.
Why don't you go to temple?
And then I didn't. And then I didn't. But I was thinking about it. Temple, yeah, but temple, I think, Fox, I don't think they, that's not the place to go for that.
You need a loving rabbi.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Love me, my rabbis, because they're very smart and evolved.
Can I take you to the millennial church? You'd fit in. You'd be happy there.
I think I'm good kids.
Okay.
I really am. I think a lot of meditation, a lot of prayer, a lot of gratitude, and you know, but who knows? Well, anyway.
So you're feeling better today than you did a week ago or no?
Yeah, like I said, a couple of dips. I really think Karen needs to go to wife camp. And, you know,
Where do they teach that?
Where do they teach wife camp? I don't know. I'm looking. But no, she's... yeah, it's hard for her because for 20 years I've taken care of her. I've been like the no matter what. Okay, let's do it. No matter what.
Do you have different expectations of her now that she's your wife?
No.
It's the same?
No, but I am expecting, now that I'm in this space, I'm expecting her to
step up.
Yeah, and she has on the masculine side of things, on the business end, but on the emotional end, I need a little more. And, you know, I think the thing is in relationships, you have to evolve. You have to be open to evolving if you want to keep the scam going. So this scam, our relationship scam has been going 20 years. So if you want to keep that going, we both have to grow and change. And we're both looking at it. Her tumor has forced her to make changes that she continues to make. This is as painful as it is, as sucky as it is. It's probably forcing me to make some changes and even to see this business, everything in life differently, which I'm really starting to see.
What are some of the biggest things you've noticed?
Of what I see differently?
Yeah.
You know, Ian Kaiser, I don't know if he's in the chat room, but Ian Kaiser always has it down pat where he does this stuff because he loves it, but he doesn't put pressure on himself. He doesn't think he really has to achieve much. Anything he's doing in his brain, he's achieving, and he's doing it because he enjoys it. And if his path is to make movies or to go volunteer for some Buddhist temple overseas, then he's just as satisfied, and he's just kind of an is-what-it-is kind of guy. And I'm starting to feel more like that. Like, it is what it is. Not so good for you, Rox, because you want me to be, like, still out there, like, you know, being aggressive and...
No, Kev, but, I want you to be alive and happy.
Okay. Well, I think that maybe we're better off. I think just, yeah, just kind of seeing it all differently. Just enjoying the ride more, being present, like Kevin Nash, taking that picture and saying, hey, let's enjoy this moment. I think there's a lesson there for me. I mean, there's a lot of lessons. I am much more interested in hearing about your weekend. So can I start? Because first of all, you went back to college, Roxy. You did go with your family for graduation. However, you do have a party family.
Yeah.
So you guys can be fun. It's not like the family thing where everyone's boring.
And Dad and Bro stayed in a hotel, but I stayed in the college room.
Oh, my God. What did you still have it?
No.
What? No.
Wait, dorm or apartment? Dorm or apartment?
Apartment.
Apartment. Senior year, they're out of the dorms.
Okay.
I did not still have it.
You didn't have it?
I tried it, and I went out, and I danced, and I drank a lot, and I thought I was cool. I went home at 2 in the morning. They stayed out till 6, Kev. Like,
well, that's a last hurrah.
Oh my God, it was so hard. We even pulled out Big Bro with us too. He even did some shots, which is so rare. We were all like drinking and hanging, but like it hits like 12:30 and I'm like, my head hurts, my feet hurt. I don't know if I can make it to the next place.
Nothing
like
left in the tank.
It was insane. The party scene at Indiana University is out of like.
Do we have pictures?
Yeah. I do have some. It was mostly on my Instagram story.
Remember her first week at school and those little friends? And I wanted to know who made the cut 4 years later, who stayed friends. Remember that?
None from the first week.
Wow. Remember that?
From the second.
Can you? And by the way, Rox, I know you're far younger. So when you're younger, life goes slower. When you're older, over 30, it flies. Her 4 years, your little sister's 4 years have flown.
Flown. They flew.
I remember the picture. And look at Sky's an adult now.
Michael, I'm going to text you some things. I would email, but it takes too long.
Look at her. I'm so proud of her. Look at her.
Let's see what we got. We went to a
Okay,
raging...
so, but was she sad, though? I mean, this is like
so,
the whole team breaking
so
up.
So sad.
Right?
She likes her friends there so much more than anywhere else. Like,
oh, that's like me in my college.
And she's so confused. She doesn't know what she's going to do now. She doesn't know where she's going to go.
Right.
She's just, like, depressed. And she's driving home alone tomorrow. It's a 16-hour journey, and she's or 18-hour or something.
Just a human with their thoughts.
Yeah. But
it can be a very depressing time.
Yeah, she honestly.
It wasn't for you because it just you blurred through it.
But I also stayed living here. Like I didn't.
Right.
It didn't have to move. I'd already built up my life. You know, she was in this random college town. You don't stay living there. You guys all leave. Like it's such a different bag of scams.
Michael, was it a letdown for you when you graduated?
Yeah, and that's actually what I was going to ask Roxy, because I went to school in Ohio in a random small town, and I was wondering, are her friends from Indiana, or is everyone spread out? Because that's what I...
Mostly from, like, Chicago.
Okay, Chi-town. So somewhat local.
Yeah,
in terms of
like 4 hour drive-ish. Yeah.
But Mike, were you everyone from all over?
Because I had friends from all over, which I guess is a good and a bad thing now. But, like, my friend group, one of my good guy friend groups, we have a guy who lives in Florida, a guy who lives in Ohio, a guy who lives in Nashville, Dallas, Denver, and myself.
So were you really sad when the band broke up when you left?
Oh, it's definitely, yeah, because then you go to a place, and especially for me, Kev, you know, I went to another small town to cover news where
right.
I knew nobody.
And also some of the news is depressing that you were covering.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A lot
and
of
I
was
living alone.
And right.
And you're
you
trying
go from,
to break in.
Right. You go from the frat house to that, and it's like, ugh.
Do you know what being iced is, Kevin? I'm sending Michael a picture of this right now.
Is that when you cut?
No. So, okay. There's this scam that came up about like 5-6 years ago. where, do you know what a Smirnoff Ice is? It's like a spritzer, basically.
Okay.
It's like it,
all right.
It's like a 6% alcohol, sugary as shit drink. Like it's like a Mike's Hard Lemonade almost.
Okay.
And when you ice somebody, what you do is they just, you have to surprise them with one of these Smirnoff Ices, and you put it somewhere on your body, and if they see it, they have to drink it.
Okay.
And you have to get down on one knee and chug the whole thing. Like, literally, it'd be like eating 14 bags of Skittles at once. Like, it's so much sugar. And they fucking, her girlfriends, because I was old, they made it fun all night. So they kept icing me.
Oh, my God.
They kept
fucking handing me these.
Kevin, it was awful. So I felt like so ill. It was like so, it's bubbly and like
it's
sugary.
It's so, so sweet. I can't believe it's so sweet.
And they just kept icing me and my brother because we were old and they thought it was funny. And like, it was.
Look at your face.
It, Kevin. It was not okay.
I love it.
And they were like, you probably don't even know what icing is, loser. And they were all so sweet and fun and playing with me. But it was like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine
you
being
know, you know what the trip is, too? And I don't know if it's hit her. And I don't know if it hit you, Mike, either. But, you know, there's just people there that you, at this really important moment in your life that you had these great exchanges with that you're never going to see ever again.
Yes. And I started trying to guess which ones she would never talk to or see again. And I started saying them
you.
And she would
talk to
I was saying, she was like, that's so mean. I love Libby. And I was like,
you're never going to see Libby again.
Literally talked to me in 1 year.
And you'll never see Libby
talked
again.
To me in 10 years.
Do you think, will she go back for homecomings in the reunion?
They're already planning a trip to go back, for next year for either a homecoming or for little 500 or whatever it is that they their big event that they want.
And then
to.
I wonder how long those last.
Yeah. It's so weird because I went to college where I live. So like anytime I wanted to stroll into homecoming, I just kind of did. It's
right.
a 15
Different.
Minute down the street.
Well, then they'll also realize, Roxy, that there's better places that they're all going to meet up, that there's better places than Podunk, Indiana.
Yeah,
that was
so
our
true.
Thing.
Like, they'll just go to Chicago for the weekend or New York for the weekend.
Yeah, why would you go to Bloomington?
That's
right.
That becomes the phase two.
But they're, like, obsessed with it there still, though.
No, no, because it's phase one.
Right.
That's 5 to 7 years.
3 to 5.
3 to 5, Mike. Yeah. I think we went longer. My team was, we kept going back for a long time. I think till like, late 20s. And then finally, we gave it up. And then we migrated to Newport Beach in Boston. Juliet, because you went to a film school, I feel like that's different too.
Everyone
there is all business. Get me to Hollywood, get me making movies.
100%.
And I remember being around that sentiment and it wasn't the same goy feel.
I mean, everyone's really upset, but everyone's like finally stepping into their careers. And so everyone's really excited about it. Well, most people are moving out to LA or New York. So you're either going to hang out with the people in New York or in LA, but most likely you'll just kind of drift apart as everyone does. And yeah, that's it.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure we'll see Sky in our Tomorrow Show travels.
Yeah.
Roxy.
I
sent her a little well-wishing text.
She told me, you're so sweet.
Oh, my little Sky.
You're so sweet.
Wow.
Grown up. Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
A coworker of mine was like, oh, who's that girl you're with? She's hot. And I was like, oh.
And I got to tell you something else, Rox, just like you. Wait till you see her look trajectory.
I know.
Because when I saw the picture of you, I could see the resemblance with you and Sky. I never saw it before, but I saw you back in your original Honey Badger
you can
days.
Tell more.
You could see where you guys looked alike. So, yeah, she's going to be beautiful, even more beautiful than she is. Very nice. Very nice to check on the Strive family. Now, Scamulet, you were over in Vegas, sent me an amazing video of Pauly D.
I did.
DJing. Did you hear this, Roxy?
No.
Yeah.
Go on.
I went to Vegas with a few girlfriends. I did not post anything, so Michael was trying to check that out.
Oh, hey, girl. Hey.
And we get there. And I'm like, okay, so what pool party are you going to? What's happening? They're like, DJ Pauly D. And I was like, oh, my God, my boss is going to be so excited.
So excited.
And everyone was like, huh? What a weird thing to say. You don't understand.
Did
you
have a good crowd?
So happy.
Good crowd?
Great crowd. It was funny seeing him in the flesh. It was really cool. But we'll talk more about that on Thursday on AfterBuzz TV when we do the after show.
Hey. Yeah, tomorrow night, AfterBuzz TV,
exactly.
Jersey Shore. I will be back in my Guido costume. I know we have some crossover fans, Brandy and a few others who make it over there from the Tomorrow Show. We appreciate it.
Hey,
I get to, you know, it's nice to be able to get out of the captain's uniform and become a Guido for the night.
Yeah.
Michael, you have Cinco de Mayo party this weekend. very exciting. I thought Karen was going to be away this weekend and maybe could get an appearance from me. Looks like that's not going to be happening. But tell me, so we going all out at headquarters?
We're going all out. I got two piñatas coming in tomorrow. One is actually a President Trump, and the other one is of a parrot. So we're going to do two of those. I got Pin the Tail and the Donkey. We got a margarita mixer coming in.
You're going to let people beat up Trump?
I mean, I am impartial wanting to attract both sides,
that's
Roxy.
That's smart. But, Michael, can I tell you something? I really think you need more diversity at your parties, and not in terms of race, but in terms of the male to female quotient.
I'm trying.
You have too many guys. I mean, it's a guy house. But women, more women always drives a party.
Is this where I put Roxy and Juliet on the spot?
Not Roxy anymore because she's over the hill. I think Scamulet. Yes, and I think
no, but I've been drinking more, so I live on top of the hill.
All right, listen, you have all of AfterBuzz there, which is more women than men. But yeah, Mike, you got to get that. That's what I learned that lesson when I went to. It was some guy through a party, Girls Gone Wild, Joe Francis.
And that had to be fun.
Damn.
And but here was what was weird, guys. So I was in a soccer ball mask all covered up. I didn't want anyone to know
who I was.
That was that party. And I kept it on all night. So I did. And I just sat in the corner and Maria went and worked the room and had fun with her other friends. And I just sat there alone and then danced all alone all night. But I observed, as I always do. And what struck me, two things struck me about the party. One is all the A-list stars that were there. Like, what the hell is Clooney doing here and this one and that one at a Joe Francis party?
Unashamed?
Completely unashamed. Dressed in great costumes and having a good time. Like, But you know what, Mike? Then I realized why. Because it was 2 or 3 to 1 women to men. And he micromanaged all the way down to the people hanging your coats. I mean, it was all women and all colors, shapes, sizes. It didn't matter. Whatever you were into, you were going to have. And that's what made me realize, like, this guy, this is what drives a party. This is why. And I have always said that about guys, because we are just animals at the end of the day. And if you put Klaus Clooney and 3 or 4 other different guys in between in a room together, and you just walk out, a hot girl rocks, and I don't give a shit how smart she is. I don't care what her job is, whatever. She's a pretty girl. All of them are equal, meaning they're all in. That's it. They're just guys. We're just dumb animals at the end of the day.
You mean to hook up with or to be with?
Hook up with. So I'm just saying that's what usually will drive the event. I learned that lesson. That was, you know, like, how does Joe Francis and Girls Gone Wild have all these respected actors here? Ah, there you go. Because at the end of the day, guys are what, rocks?
Animals.
We're animals. Some of us well-intended, others not. No, you know, listen, we can debate it. Michael is still a virgin, so.
Just because you're full doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
Right. That's how I look at it. I think, you know, you have to be able to admire the fine art. All right. Should we do some news, you guys, before we leave?
I definitely think so.
Hey.
Betches?
Well, we're going to start in the world of music with a couple artists under a little bit of fire. So it came out today. So Tidal is the streaming company owned by Jay-Z. And a report came out today that his wife, Beyonce, and Kanye had a lot of benefit coming from fake streams. Several hundred million streams benefited Kanye West's album, as well as Beyonce's Lemonade, and all that involved millions of dollars worth of payment being exchanged as well. It was let loose that Kanye West's album had been streamed 250 times in its first 10 days, and Tidal just had 3 million subscribers, so it said that would claim that 3 million subscribers. That would mean that every single subscriber for each of those 10 days had to listen to the songs 8 times per day. Beyonce's album was streamed 306 times in 15 days, so company and a publication did some research and is making some pretty damning claims. And it made me wonder, in the world of digital, is it easier or harder to fake this? And do we believe anything that's out there in digital right now?
I think it's easier to do. And I think it's hard to believe, because I just, I'm astounded when I see the amount of the giant responses on certain things and certain artists. So I
don't even mind that she did it, though.
Their companies would have spent the money, correct?
Yeah.
To do that, Mike, right?
Yeah, well, you just said they just faked numbers on what they said was their streams.
What? Oh, well, is that what they're reporting, or are they reporting that the streams actually took place? But
no,
maybe
they're reporting that the streams didn't take place, that they just put in the numbers for the streams.
No, that's not what they're reporting. They're reporting that they paid millions of dollars to up the streams.
Yeah, that's what I think, Mike, is they paid the money. So the streams took place, but they spent the money to make the streams happen. I think there's... even when you read comments, I've seen, even in this Me Too movement, I've seen people under attack. And when I read the comments made no sense versus what public sentiment was.
Really?
Yes. And it's because, you know, they can hire digital street teams. And these people spend a lot of money.
Michael might be right on this one. I'm still confused. I'm confused on what's being accused. To be honest,
I think if they're saying they spent money, then that's what it is.
I think they're saying that they received so many of these streams, and so there was money exchanged and given to Sony. I think they tried to, you know, use the publicity of saying we got all these streams, and then because of that, they owed a certain royalty to Sony, some of which came back to them as the artist.
Huh.
So they actually made money off of falsifying this, Michael.
Well, yes. So they falsify it, and so Sony goes, well, if there's 250 million streams, then guess what? We should be receiving X amount of dollars, and then you'll get your cut from the X amount of dollars we get. So maybe they did spend the money with Sony just to have face and be number one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And like you said, Kevin, you can get people to comment. I know on Amazon now, you can't trust Amazon comments.
No.
People hired, you know, people from Thailand and the Philippines to write fake Amazon comments.
Yeah, you really have to read carefully. You know, you have,
'cause some of them are verified and that you can trust.
Yeah, you have to read carefully and specifically what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, that's best.
Well, Kanye's wife, Kim Kardashian, was dragged through the mud a little bit by Taylor Swift at a concert last night in a venue, kind of going back on her being bullied by Kim Kardashian. And
Jules, pull up the video if you can.
I think that, Kevin, you would almost like what Taylor Swift said, talked about being bullied on social media. She was called a snake by Beyonce and brought that up again and talked about it for the first time. And she said, quote, I wanted to send a message to you guys that if someone uses name calling to bully you on social media, and even if a lot of people jump on board with it, that it doesn't have to defeat you. It can strengthen you instead.
It just was so randomly placed, which is why I'm having Jules pull this up. Like,
they're all just so calculated.
Like, the snake thing happened so long ago, a year ago, and then for her to be singing and then to bring this up, it's so weird.
You know, you have to remember, keep peeling the onion. Keep peeling the layers of the onion, though, guys. Remember why, Kim?
Google it in the news, and then it will come up.
Again, and I'm swimming out of my waters here. Ashley Grace Daniels would know far better than I. But I do recall the snake accusation was coming up from the fact that they had a tape of Taylor Swift, you know, agreeing to be part of this
Kanye
something
thing,
and then going the other way and denying it all and lying.
And then the song lyrics.
Right. So, it's like they all know how to make lemonade with these, like, these empty life lessons.
I'm going to turn down our music.
Yeah.
Yes.
She said a couple years ago somebody called me a snake on social media.
Right.
A couple of years ago, someone called me a snake on social media. And
because I was one.
She's so hurt.
And then a lot of people were calling me a lot of people on social media.
Some people were calling her a liar.
No, I was just at a place where I wanted to be here. I don't want to be here anymore. Do you think Springsteen would ever do this, Roxy?
That's why I want you to watch it.
You're a Springsteen fan.
Yeah, because of it. She's like, I almost quit singing because of it.
I went through some times when I didn't know.
Because I've never had real pain in my life. What?
I was going to get to do this anymore.
No! No!
Say it, so T Swift.
I guess the snakes, I wanted to send a message to you guys that. That if someone uses name calling to bully you on social media.
Yes.
And even if a lot
pay attention,
of
Michael.
Jump on board with it. That doesn't have to defeat you.
Really?
That's a good point.
Oh, no way! No, I can get stronger? I get killed on Billions in the Jersey Shore, especially Billions. I get killed on that after show. So this can actually make me stronger,
this can
apparently.
Make you stronger.
Nice.
Can strengthen you.
I just don't want to be here anymore. Don't want to be here anymore.
It's just like, what's so strange
it's
about this,
weird
Michael,
times.
I think you probably have this in there.
And it's not
going
to change, you guys. Not my lifetime.
I think it's probably in there, Michael, but what happened prior to this performance is that Taylor Swift got a package from Katy Perry, who she was previously beefing with, where, Michael, do you want to, do you mind if I go ahead?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Where Katy sent Taylor a literal olive branch, and Taylor, like, instant, because they had fought, and she was, like, saying good luck. Taylor had Instagrammed it being like, thanks so much, Katy, and kind of, like, let bygones be. But bygones, and she goes on stage and is like, and Kim Kardashian. Like, you always need to have a villain or somebody to fight with something.
And again,
well, you know, keeping with the music news, Kevin, we still haven't gotten your take. We talked a lot last week about Kanye. What is your thought? Do you think this is all an act and a performance of what he's tweeting out, what he's saying?
He might be at that point where he doesn't know what a performance, you know what I mean? Maybe a lot of it's performance, but now it bleeds reality and it goes back and forth.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
There was a wild article that was really trying to prove that this is a mastermind performance art piece, and that he really, like, has calculated out every single move, and based on this time and this article and this thing.
He might think that.
I don't know.
They compared it to Andy Kaufman.
I had a guy, it's funny, I worked for a guy in the carny business who played like he was out to lunch. Forgetful, didn't know your name. Like, that was his way of conning people. You know, you never knew where he was coming from, never knew what, you know. And
did you buy it at first?
We all bought it. But what I noticed, what happened was, he relied on it so much. It's like people when they lie all the time, they rely on it so much that eventually they just get confused. I think
they start believing their own lies.
I mean, yeah, and they get confused and they don't, you know. But this guy eventually lost his marbles, and it was like, no, wait, he really is out of his mind. So I feel like this is where he's between hearing about oxys and things like that. I feel he's probably a genius, so he's a tortured soul. And yeah, I feel like some of it is, but then some of it isn't. And at some point, you know, will he be able to pull back and know, okay, this show's over, we're going behind the curtain? I don't know, because Andy Kaufman knew. He was very conscious of it. But no, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where he's starting to cross the line. So I think some of it is, but I think some of it isn't.
He has two albums coming out in the next year, so that's where this thought is, that he's building up to this album where he's going to release new content to be able to say something different and to be able to prove a point.
Maybe. I mean, but again, why so early? Does he need to say this right now? I don't know. And yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think he's a little bit, and he's also used to always succeeding, right? So he says these crazy things, or he does these crazy things, and boom, he makes magic. He's successful with his clothes, his shoes. He's successful with his music. So again, when you're so used to succeeding all the time, you tend to not think less and less, and just, I'll just go with my gut. I'll go with my gut, and I don't know. But yeah, and I think there's something wrong here, but not wrong in terms of it's all calculated. Wrong in terms of, I don't know.
If you wanted to do business with you,
it might be getting to him.
What would you say?
What do you need me to do? How many holes do you need me to dig? Of course, he's Kanye West in 2 seconds. Mm. Of course.
Well, let's get juicy with another big star in music. An interview surfaced this week from 3 years ago with DJ Khaled, saying that he won't give his wife oral sex, but that he expects it in return. He said, quote, "A woman should praise the man, the king. I'm taking care of your family. I'm taking care of my family. You know, I'm putting in the work."
I just think this is awesome. I don't agree with it, but I think it's hilarious.
Women, have we seen this attitude from men that you've dated, Juliet, Roxy?
Yes, good question, Michael Klaus.
Jules?
No, never.
Seriously?
Yeah. If it was an issue, then I'd date someone else.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is like 90% of men.
What? Not the men I see.
Oh, my God. Like, I've had men on first dates say to me, like, just so you know, I do not like to go down there.
The world
it's not
is,
like after they see me, they don't want to.
It's just
like,
so weird. The,
yeah.
Really?
Yes. Like men who are like, I have a hard. It was more when you're younger, but like a hard, fast rule about not doing that.
And let's get the ground rules off. First date.
First date. Like, just so you know.
But see, I grew up in a time where it'd be like, how you presumptuous pig.
Yeah.
Get out of the car and take me home. But your generation's like, okay, copy that.
Totally. I mean, and what's weird is that I feel like a lot of my girlfriends now have, because that was the case for so long, are like, I don't like it. I'm so nervous to have a guy go down there because, like, what if he's not liking it? What if, like, like, I know guys that are fucking pigs. It's like, they don't shower before, they don't do anything, they just expect it. And, like, women, I feel like if you're gonna let a guy go down on you, you're like, perfectly waxed, smelling great, hot out of the shower, like taking care of all these things. And men are just like, suck it.
True. But don't we all have to accept that millennials are generally, we've discussed this before, filthy, and that you guys really don't bathe. Your hygienic habits have gone considerably downhill. And I think you know what you're getting into when you go down there. Michael Klaus, let's talk about your friends. Like, is this something where they yay or nay? Or
It's not something that I've heard of. I can see both sides. I mean, I can see that in today's society that I feel like it's different. And maybe I can see a lot of men who are maybe older who would be like, oh, no, who have that attitude, who have that king attitude that I'm doing all the work. I should be pleased. But again, I feel maybe one thing that millennials are doing well.
No, it's the opposite.
It's opposite?
The older men are the ones that are like, of course I'll fucking go down on
you. Yeah, we like the perfect.
The younger men are the ones who are like, that's weird.
Oh, my God. Again,
definitely opposite.
The good news, you do have people in support, like The Rock, who tweeted out that...
Rock, stay out of it, will you?
He enjoys, you know, a good performance.
How's he going to run for president if he keeps talking about Conolingus?
Come on, Rock. You know,
you got to find somebody. You can't date somebody for more than a month who won't go down on you. Either sex. Like, you just can't.
Gotta love the pudding.
Well, speaking of the presidency, Donald Trump is pulling out of the Iran deal. He announced this week the deal that has been in place for 3 years was negotiated by his predecessor, President Obama. He is pulling out. The deal was made in 2015 with six other nations, as well as Iran and the U.S. Trump, like many other deals, saying it is horrible and one-sided. The Iran deal is defective at its core. If we do nothing, we don't know what will happen. The deal, for a lot of people didn't know, was supposed to stop their enriching uranium, which is a necessary step for causing the creation of an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb. But there's been a lot of discrepancies of whether that is being followed and what the actual success rate of that was. Do you guys trust Trump in this? Following what happened in North Korea, do you feel like his world policy game is better or worse?
I'm not qualified to talk about this. So let me say that to begin with, because I don't really follow politics. I will say, though, I just met with a guy from Iran, and he was saying, you know, he grew up there his whole life and was blessed enough to get out of the country.
For entertainment purposes, or you met with him just for
business? It was business. And yeah, he said, what family he talks to, they all live in fear. The people are rounded up on a daily basis by the government, you know, for not obeying religious law and brutally punished. And people are partying underground to rebel. I mean, they're not people to be trusted. It's not a government to be trusted. And I feel like Obama was beyond his years and time, like a Gandhi in that respect. And I know that's important to him to be seen that way, and he will be one day, I think. But, you know, you have to think a little bit when you see what's going on in North Korea. And you have to wonder if the little fat guy doesn't go, wait, this other big fat guy is fucking crazier than I am. He's out of his fucking mind. And he will be the type. And you know Trump would. Wouldn't Trump love to wipe that guy out?
Yeah.
Yep.
And wouldn't his legion of fans love him for that?
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't that give Trump so much energy to do so? And so sometimes in the art of war, the one who's more insane is the one who wins. Or the one who can present that to his opponent wins. And so, you know, I know other people would disagree with that. I'm certainly one to think that this is just hell in a handbasket gone so crazy, you know. But I'm always intrigued by that kind of diplomacy. And I think it was true of Reagan. I think the Soviet Union and those nations were scared that Reagan had a chip on his shoulder and wanted to go to war. He wanted to kick somebody's ass. And I think in the poker game of it all, I think that worked. And it seems like that's the only thing getting the little fat guy in North Korea to pay attention. And, you know, I would think Obama would have made a soft deal. I would think that a progressive deal ahead of its time, but for current, may not work. And I also, you know, from what I hear from those governments, I would not trust them. And I think that, unfortunately, certain governments only respect a really big stick that, you know, that is going to be pulled out on them. And there's just certain people, like Rux, let's go to somebody not popular with our people, like a Hitler. You know, how much love and appeasement you were going to give him? Was he ever going to stop?
No.
No, he needed the bat. And he was so insane, he literally needed almost every German killed and him to be in some pit and put a gun in his mouth to know that it was over. So it's just sometimes, unfortunately, you know, I
still don't even believe that.
That he did, that you think he got out.
Yeah. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
I don't think, you know, here's the thing, Rox, if he, you know, Mengele got out, you know, but yeah. But I think with Hitler, if he got out, which I believe he could have gotten out, but it just was such a price in his head. Too many people could have gotten rich off turning him in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But he was also
a godlike anti-Semite that you'd protect.
Maybe.
That the anti-Semite. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I'm just saying.
If you believed what he was spewing.
But let's go back to what we were saying. He was not going to stop.
No.
And there's just certain people. And
that's why I loved the Churchill movie. When
he was like house painter.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? You're a freaking house painter, but look at all you're doing. So, I don't know. So, I mean, with this one, I'm kind of leaning with Mitt Trump. In the words of Lou Ferrigno when he was on Celeb Apprentice.
I was nervous. I was nervous with Korea, but seeing how that turned out, I guess I have a little more confidence.
Listen, they're a little country. If they get into it with us, they're going to lose. They might give us a black eye, but they're going to be what? He's gone, and his country's gone. Like, that's it, and Trump would take so much. You know he would take so much pride in that. And the little fat guy knows it. And that's why he's like, yeah, maybe we should talk. Yeah, maybe we should.
Here's what is going on in the chat, by the way, in case you guys don't know. We go live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Tomorrow Show on YouTube. And right now we've got B. Lee says, word. Channel says, I agree with Kev. Steamer says, here's the thing. Never
he
trust
knows.
Trump.
Never
trust
right.
Trump.
He's right. No, he's right. But don't remember, Steve, that's what the opponents are thinking, is you can't trust him. So they're scared. And I just think with certain... Listen, in the end of the day, I believe love is the greatest weapon of all. I do. But we've seen in history, Rocks, that evil people eat love for breakfast. You know, remember that? Listen, we learned it on Star Trek.
Which one?
Bad usually triumphs unless good is very, very careful or crazy.
You know who else joined us in the chat and is saying hello?
Who?
It's Ashley Grace Daniels.
Hey, girl. Hey, we needed you here tonight, Ash, because you would have set us straight on Kanye and Kim. Needless to say.
That's true. Maybe.
She would have known.
And maybe T-Swift is getting bullied. If Ashley says so, then maybe she
Ashley
really
will
is.
Know. Well, ask her if she says in chat. Mike, read the last story.
Well, the final story. This is just, you know, speaking of people who I think we want to go away, this is Darwinism. Darwinism at its finest. Kids are getting second-degree burns and higher based on the deodorant challenge. We've heard of the Tide Pod challenge, the cinnamon challenge, the condom challenge where you're snorting a condom.
Can there be a, you know, Juliet, I'm sorry, this is terrible to say.
Yeah,
can there be a hand job challenge?
Ooh, okay.
Where women could just randomly give hand jobs?
But why can't men give them to the women?
We can. Yeah. No, no, that's wonderful. I'm in. Mike, make that deal. Yeah, and we do the oral challenge. Right? That's all, right? Why can't we have that?
I'm going to get it trending on Twitter.
Thank you, sir. Go back to the Go back to the deodorant.
So this challenge, you take an aerosol spray of deodorant and you literally just spray it on your skin. And if you can do it the longest, you win. But the issue is it's so cold and the alcohol content and the other contents in it literally causing burns. A girl had second degree burns in Europe.
Okay,
and her mom says she's having to get skin grafts now.
But did she get popular, Michael? Please.
Great question.
Thank you.
I hope so.
All right. So she did.
She had to transfer schools, and then they said, the girls at the other school are also doing it. So,
speaking of getting popular, Ashley says that she tuned in because she misses us. She wishes she was there and drunk and that she could share her cocaine story. She saw someone do coke very up and close, and that, but that's for another day. And I know this to be true because she sent a picture to me of the person doing cocaine. And had she been at a party where I was doing that and sent a picture of me that close, I would have murdered
Killed her.
Murdered.
Can you ask her about, does she know about the
deodorant challenge?
Swift.
T-Swift?
Yeah.
Well, we're asking her right now, live. We're doing it live,
ask her.
Ash.
We're doing it live. You can take us out, Mike. Find out from Ash. I'd like to get her take on it. And, Mike, you're being, Mike, you didn't tell everyone. Weeks ago, Mike and his friends had played a prank on his hometown, putting up a Facebook page announcing that a Chick-fil-A was opening in the town. And then, Mike, you showed me your newspaper covered it.
Oh, yeah, the local newspaper had to do a front page story. I'm finding the actual article here, and I'll have it pulled up here in probably about 30 seconds when I send it to the email. Did a front page story. They had to contact Chick-fil-A. It spread so much. Again, one post went out to about 80,000 people in the area. The town had 20,000 people. So the post went to 80,000 people. Had this bizarre entire elaborate scheme going on. All we had to do was post a couple times, throw up a couple graphics, bada bing, bada boom.
I love it.
It doesn't feel very Christian to me. Ashley says she doesn't know about the T-Swift stuff. She would have to look it up, but that the cocaine guy told her to do it, but he was too hairy.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Don't know what that means.
Wonderful. Okay.
Just relaying the message
come back
to you.
Tell her to come in next Wednesday and see us. Hey, next Wednesday, is Lynette Carolla coming in? I know I've been.
She did bring a show yesterday morning.
No, we have a Shaw's a Sunset person coming in next week.
Interesting. Is that still on the air?
Next Wednesday. It's a great question. We're going to have to do our research.
We will find out.
I think it's either the person who just got married or somebody.
As long as people are having fun.
That's a great point.
I think I have new life with this new hand job challenge you guys made up.
What are the hashtags?
I don't know. You guys work on that part, but that's great. And so is it like the bucket challenge where you announce three people who you have to give hand jobs to? Is that how are we going to do it?
Kev, do you think I should debut this at the party this
weekend?
Yes. Or?
Yes.
Oh.
What?
Kevin, I have something you'll like.
What?
The girl coming in next week from Shaw's of Sunset is actually named MJ, and recently she's in the news yesterday because she shared a nude photo on Instagram. Self-confidence is determined by yourself. So, wow, and I'm looking at that nude photo of her, and that's her booty dough.
Really?
Just looking at it, yep. If you guys wanted to pull it up, her handle is Mercedes Javid.
Oh, hey,
yeah, there it is. There it is.
You know, I don't think enough is said of the people who take these pictures.
Good point.
You think she was on a timer?
No, she's got, you can see in the mirror, she's got it.
She's got it.
I've taken many a nude photos for my friends before. I'm a very good photographer of the nudie.
And the girls, and where do they send them, Rux?
To whoever.
Their guy?
Yeah.
Their booze?
Yeah.
And not afraid that this will get out someday.
No, I gotta say, I've done it myself. But you can't put your face in it. No face. No face allowed.
Do any of them go out on social media or no?
No.
I missed out.
No.
Well, Michael's got Cinco de Mayo on Saturday. Juliet, will you be attending?
I might be. I don't know yet.
Interesting. Always on to better plans,
yeah,
Mike.
You know,
this
it's
is
an
where we're running
an
into.
An LA thing, right? We have to have the backup
better
and kind
scams.
Of see you from there.
Roxanne Stryer, will you be attending?
I have an engagement party in Encino from 4 to 8. So
what? Who is it?
Remember when we bumped into that kid at Coffee Bean? I said his sister just got engaged.
Yeah.
His sister.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So family friends. My mom's best friend's kid.
Okay.
And so, but Michael's thing doesn't start until 9:30, so I don't know.
9:30?
Just come by.
It starts at like 8.
Come over here. Just come.
Maybe I'll go straight there then.
Yeah, or come hang at headquarters. Oh, you can go to Mike's place early.
But I don't like to go without you.
Well, who knows? Karen might go with Illuminati.
Okay, well, if she does, then I'm going. Not that Michael isn't good enough for me. He is. But he has his own scams. Like, he can't
no,
sit there.
No, no, he's busy. He's got to work the room.
And if Bonjour doesn't go?
Although, Mike, you got to stalk the pond, buddy.
I sent out... So here was my strategy, Kev. I did, obviously, the Facebook invite. But then yesterday morning, I sent out the text messages of, hey, having this party this weekend.
I was glad you
all
didn't.
Details.
I never see Facebook invites. So
see, because a lot of people don't. So I sent out... Several text messages. A lot of AfterBuzz people.
Yeah, I think that's what you need. You got to go to the buzz. You got to go down to the beat. I think that's. Hey, we have an. You know, it's a little announcement. Our first annual AfterBuzz prom is coming up.
Yeah.
When is it?
Not Saturday in 2 weeks.
Yeah, not for another weekend. We've got another show before that.
And do you kids have your gowns?
Yep. I think I know what I'm going to wear. It's not a gown, it's a cocktail dress I'm doing because I want to show my legs.
Interesting.
You think that's okay?
Apparently, sure. And I have this on the show, I asked you to be my date, and apparently you've been telling them you're not my date, even though you said you would be my date.
I didn't tell anybody I wasn't your date. You're my date.
Okay, good.
Who said that I wasn't your date?
Mr. Phil Svitek, boy genius, he not just so makes genius, shit apparently. Up.
Why aren't you taking Phil?
Because we're going together, let's be honest.
Okay, Michael, are you bringing a date, Michael, to the AfterBuzz prom?
I was conflicted of whether I should or whether I should go and
who would
try
you
to
bring?
Mingle.
Who would you bring?
I don't know. You
like,
know, I
don't,
here? Okay.
In my life
or
right
a
now,
flirtatious
ooh,
person?
Definitely not.
Let's
next.
Break it
That's
down, Mike.
Well.
Let's break it down.
Break it down.
Here's what you're working with. Sometimes events like this are such a great setup for a first date. Because imagine you say to your first date, I know it's going to sound crazy, but my company is having a prom, and I'd love to bring you to prom with me. First of all, the person, if they like you, are very flattered that they're asked to do it. Second, get to dress up and play make-believe. And guards just tend to drop in those kind of environments when these things happen.
A great plan, but I have to disclose that you... Because in case any AfterBuzzers are listening, just a reminder that you have to bring a significant other that you've known for a while.
You know,
not a rando.
You guys... It's frustrating because I'm the guy who runs a place, but they're the ones that, like, at 1 in the morning, I'm plugging speakers, breaking the bar down, and filling his rules, which I know Marie appreciates. So.
No, but obviously, Kev, anyone who I would bring, I would have known
wink,
for
wink,
a long
significant
time.
Significant other. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm seeing them, Kevin, they're significant.
Exactly.
It's said on the poster, ABTV host and significant others only. Just
well, but I'm saying, if you were going to ask someone to prom, I would think that is a... going to be
it's cute, yeah.
A significant other. Yeah, so Mike, I'm saying there could be an interesting play there to bring, you know. I'm going full Guido, I'll tell you that much.
What does that mean?
I'm Jersey prom.
You got your outfit picked out?
Mm-hmm. Just know that. I'm not going like the principal, like I'm expected to be. I don't want to be the principal and the chaperone. Why do I have to be the chaperone, Mike?
No.
You chaperone everyone
not
my whole
that
life.
Night. Not that
no.
night.
And
are you going to be able to drink?
I think my scam's over. That's, in 2 weeks. I think that that ends my scam. So that concludes my 6 weeks of no eating, no drinking, no caffeine, no nothing. So, yeah.
So, Brandy says I'd go to your prom because I've never been to one. Brandy, you get out here. You're coming
Brandy,
to prom.
Brandy, if you come out to L.A., treat yourself. You
treat
are
yourself.
Invited. All the tomorrow
Dima wants to come too. Chanel Epic says, see you next week, guys. #Enduring Enduring Handjob Challenge is
yes.
the name, Kevin.
Enduring Handjob Challenge. I think it's going to spread like wildfire.
Who
enduring.
Can get the other one to go first?
Hey, anyone from the Tomorrow Show wants to go to prom, you just let us know. Phil will get mad, but whatever. We'll deal with
now
it.
Now you're coming.
Yeah. You guys absolutely can come. We have a lot of people who have never been to prom, so that's the big deal. People are excited. And did you guys make up the posters, Juliet?
Yeah, they're up and they look beautiful.
Are we getting good responses?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
People are giddy about prom?
Yeah.
I wonder if Maria will go. I don't know. That one's up in the air. Mike, you can tell people at your party I'll host a Q&A. All right, you guys, listen. As usual, I fear we've learned next to nothing.
No way.
Nothing this time, right?
Well, we learned that the week's over. But we learned that within the first few seconds of the show.
Okay.
We learned that air, it tastes best when it's fried.
Yes. Marinated as well.
Yes, marinated was
interesting. Well. And exorcisms might be for you.
They might be.
Oh, I'm going for another one Friday. I'm going in for another one Friday.
Because they're still in you?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Are you going to prepare for this one? Like, try to get some energy or to do something different going in?
No. Well, I'm hoping I'm at my lowest. That's what seemed like it worked best.
We learned that demons live in strip clubs.
Yeah.
That was the main highlight, I think.
I think that's where I caught I think all three of them got right into my body.
Yep.
I was weak. I was vulnerable. And they got in. Well, anyway, you guys, it was wonderful to have you here, as always. Next week, we will have someone from Shaws of Sunset. You know, that'll be fun.
The Naked Chick.
Naked Chick. We'll be telling you about, like, hopefully we'll have good news about Michael's Cinco de Mayo, as well as my second exorcism. Oh, you know what? You know who might be guest hosting with us? Is Sam Roberts. Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Oh, wow.
103 Stars. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, and I think Chip Chipperson next week is at AfterBuzz as well. Okay, so how like them apples? That's right. So Sammy will be in. Sammy will be
apples.
In Wednesday. And then I think Wednesday day, they're taping Jim and Sam over at the Buzz, over at AfterBuzz.
Cool.
So that's that.
I got to get in on that scam.
Rox, where do I find you?
You can find me at Roxy Stryer.
And what are you doing over at Popcorn Talk and AfterBuzz?
I'm doing DC Movie News every Thursday at 3 p.m.
We're
going almost 4 years strong on that show, Kev. It's so good.
You guys have a really big following.
It's so good. Yeah, huge following. We get some great guests, too. And there's a lot going on in the DC universe right now, so you can check that out tomorrow. Also, with you, sometimes I'm on Jersey Shore. The Originals I also do. It's the final season.
Nice.
For AfterBuzz, love that. And I've been doing the Popcorn Talk weekly, so I tell everybody what's going on every
week. Yeah, you're
doing
a good job
breaking
with that.
It down.
Are you getting a good response so far?
Yeah. I want people to comment more about what they're seeing, what they want us to talk about, what they're watching. But yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah, you do really good at it.
Thanks, Kev.
You do really good.
Thanks.
Klausy, what about you?
I actually just signed up for a show. I'm hoping that we cover debuts on Tuesday, May 29th at the on... Ooh, I forget what network it's on. It's called 100 Code, and it's like a mystery drama thriller.
Then we're doing it. If you're doing it, we're doing it. That's it. And then, Mike, what's the other one you do on Popcorn Talk?
Oh, I Could Never Be. So we are in a little hiatus between season
right.
two and three. Season three comes back on June 4th.
Great stand.
For 100 Code, Dominic Monaghan is the star
yes.
of it, who has been to AfterBuzz before.
Friends with Maria.
Yep.
Bonjour, Juliette. What are you doing over at AfterBuzz?
So I just wrapped Good Girls, which if you haven't seen, please go watch. Go watch on demand on YouTube our after show. I'm still doing Trust, which is about the Getty family and a new FX show. And a show is on last season. It's coming back next. It actually came back yesterday. We're going to cover it next week, which is Botch. And it's a lot of fun. I'm sure you would enjoy this show, Kevin.
Yeah, Botch, I love.
A lot of wackos. And it's a good balance of little wackos who are very funny and entertaining, and also people whose lives are completely changed after they have these small tweaks about themselves. You just see people blossom.
He's a
really
friend
cool.
of ours too, Dr. Nassar, right? Is that his name?
Is it
yes.
Nassar?
Nazer. Sorry, he's a good, really good guy. Okay, you can check me out on the Jersey Shore. Also, on Sunday nights I do Billions, and I do Bar Rescue.
Yes, sir.
I want to do this is my little wish list.
Love.
I've got to do Cobra Kai. Michael, it's amazing.
How many episodes are you? It's 12 episodes?
I blew it all out. One sitting. One day in the screening room. It was unbelievable. Loved it. Spoke to me on many levels. I thought it was fantastic. And then still want to do Wild Wild Country. And I think and Love, I think, is such a sweet show.
Yeah, I'm working on that. We'll do it together and find a time that works.
Right. Well, listen. You guys... Until then, hit me at Undergaro and I won't respond or read it. I mean, Juliette will, though, right?
I get it to me, too. I'll tell you if anything's important.
Thank you. But listen, guys. Until then, Roxy, please what?
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Yeah, make it a better tomorrow.
If I sang to you yesterday, I'll sing more than that tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to the Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.